Let us now listen to the Word of God from the Old Testament book of Exodus. On the day when the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, he said to him, I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I am speaking to you. But Moses said in the Lord's presence, Since I am a poor speaker, why would Pharaoh listen to me? The Lord said to Moses, See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and I will multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. When Pharaoh does not listen to you, I will lay my hand upon Egypt and bring my people, the Israelites, company by company out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites from out among them. Moses and Aaron did so. They did exactly as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Now let us receive your word, Almighty God. As we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, in the power of your Holy Spirit, give us the courage to speak and act out your faith in this world. Amen. I'm sure a number of pastors have had similar experiences to this. My days in Bethlehem, as occasionally I am able to do here, I will go over to the Sunday school and visit the classes with my robe on. In Bethlehem one day, when I was visiting the four-year-old class, teacher gave me this feedback afterwards and said, when you came in the door, little boy that was seated on my lap looked to me and whispered in my ear, is that God? And I was thinking, well, maybe the teacher could soften his view of me just a bit. When she said, oh, no, that's not God. That's just Gareth. Whether we like it or not, whether we engage it or not, when we go out into the world and we lead either our families, our groups, our churches, our corporations, our governmental agencies, we speak on behalf of someone. God said to Moses, go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses went and spoke to Pharaoh on behalf of God. Leaders are called to speak for God. But Moses was hesitant to do so. Who am I that I should go? I am nobody connected to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's not going to listen to me. But God said, go and speak. Moses was hesitant to speak for God, and he said, who are you, God? What is your name? What gives you the authority to send me? And God said, go and speak for me. Moses was still ambivalent to speak, and he said, what if the people and the Egyptians don't listen to me? What if they think I'm crazy? If I'm deluded, what if they think that the heat in the wilderness has fried my mind? And God said, go and speak for me. Yet still Moses was resistant to speak for God. And then God said, go to Pharaoh and speak for me. Pleading one more time, for there must be another way out, Moses almost refused to go and said, Lord, please send somebody else. It strikes me that Moses' hesitancy is our hesitancy. We do not want to speak for God. We would rather speak for lesser authorities, speak for ourselves. My guess is that every one of us is hesitant in good ways to speak for the living God. I think it is right to be reluctant to do so. I think Moses was in touch with reality when he said, please send somebody else. But the fact remains that God sends an ordinary man out of the desert to go and address the greatest person on the face of the earth in terms of political power. Think about this. You may say, like Moses, it's not my place to speak for God. But when you speak, you do speak for someone. You speak for yourself, a philosophy of life, a powerful influence. You speak on behalf of your parents or a mentor or a pastor or someone who has educated you. You speak on behalf of the Constitution of the United States. You speak on behalf of some higher authority. Inevitably, even when you speak as a parent, you speak on the basis that you have learned to be a parent by being raised in households and your parents parented you. God has led you. I believe there is no way to avoid not speaking on behalf of other people. In his book, Leadership is an Art, Max DePree said that leaders, in fact, define reality. In order to define reality, it seems to me that we must be in touch with the ultimate reality of all of the earth and the heavens. And that is God Himself. A leader must have faith in a higher purpose in order to speak with authority to the people that he or she leads. A leader must speak on behalf of another. The other leads him or her. Ultimately, the leader must choose whether he or she will speak on behalf of himself or a lesser power or God. Sometimes we speak on behalf of lesser gods. Sometimes we speak on behalf of the god of war or the god of wine or the god of personal indulgence. A leader may speak as though he or she himself or herself is God. This is what Pharaoh did. Moses, who are you? And who is your God? Don't you know that I am God and what I say rules Egypt? A leader must speak for some other lesser God if he does not speak for God. I remember the story of a man who came and spoke to our men's group in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. He had been the chief financial officer of a large corporation. And one day, the CEO had walked in and said, I need you to make some adjustments to our financial report so that it looks better than it really is. I know you can do it. This man was a man of faith, and he always checked his conscience in the presence of God before he did what he was asked to do. And in thinking this through, he went back to the chief executive officer and he said, I'm sorry, I cannot do what you're asking me to do. I must resign. To speak for God takes courage. It takes timing. It takes knowledge of who God is. Sometimes we are tempted to speak for lesser gods, in that case, the god of money. I heard a woman once say that she did what she did because her husband had done it to her. Sometimes we speak for the dead husband. My husband yelled at me and berated me. Now I have a right to yell at you and berate you. He used to point his finger at me and blame me for our trouble. I am justified in pointing my finger at you and blaming you for our trouble. When we speak often of lesser gods that bring distortion. There were times that my dad spoke for God. There were times that he spoke for his dad and not for God. Growing up on the farm and during the Depression and never having much of anything and not having many hopes or dreams, I could hear him on occasion slip into that dreamless view of reality. He was particularly concerned with my hopes and dreams in music, and in pastoral ministry, I could hear him say today, you can't really make a living in music. And you can't make a living in the church. No way. And then when I became a Presbyterian, my dad, out of his sense of the history of his own experience, said, you know, you Presbyterians are just too highfalutin. Is that the voice of God? I doubt it. My sense, parents, is that we have decisions to make. We can either speak on behalf of other voices that haunt us, other gods, or we can speak on behalf of God. In baptism today, parents are committing themselves to speak on behalf of God to their children, and we do the same thing. And that means that we're called to voice God's grace, forgiveness, forbearance, patience and gentleness, kindness, encouragement, truth and justice. Parents also agree today to let go of the lesser gods, to let go of following anything that finds its source in evil or the devil. You know, the god of pickiness, the god of blame, the god of deception, the god of arrogance, the god of marital war, the god of greed, the god of envy, the god of comparison between children. Coaches are called to speak for God as well. Those of you who coach, are you speaking for a God that loves every person on the field, or do you reward some people more than others because they perform better than others? It's a very strong temptation in a highly competitive environment. Teachers, are you speaking for God, or are you speaking for some other voice in your classroom? Do you give certain attention to some students, and do you ignore others because of your own sense of their performance abilities in class? In our Western culture, with its movement into postmodernism, I think we're being driven more and more by secular gods. Recent studies have pointed out that the next generation of young people growing up in the life of America are more and more atheist in their orientation. And one of the reasons they declare that is because they say we have a hard time finding people who can live their faith. They talk with the talk, but they can't walk the walk. And they reject the church. If we're going to reach out to the next generation as our commitment to National Presbyterian Church, we must be people who put our words into action and demonstrate the Word of God in what we do and how we act. In our culture today, some people only use God's name as an attachment at the end of their speech to invoke God's blessing on their view of reality. I don't think that's what Moses did. Some people use God as an excuse. Since God is on my side, I have the right to condemn you and judge you and write you off. I don't think that's what God has intended either. Some people reduce the number of things that Jesus says in the New Testament to just a few things and rob him of his humanity and devalue his divinity. They reduce what God says to hardly anything. I don't think that's what God has in mind as well. Still others, growing in number, believe today that there is no God. The voice of atheism is expanding quickly. And I believe that in our culture today, people are hungry to hear a clear voice from God, from anyone and everyone who would stand as one who would speak for God. At Wednesday Night Alive this past week, during our Bible study on this text, I asked the question of those present, what would you think if someone said to you, I am speaking to you on behalf of God. Thus says the Lord, this is what you need to do in your life. And one of the members, I think, presented what we all feel. I wouldn't like that. I wouldn't trust it. I would think the person's a little nuts. Because we have a certain caution when somebody takes such a strong position that they somehow by themselves hold God's view of reality. I also don't think that's what God had in mind for Moses as well. I think it's because we believe that one is speaking in truth and grace. We can see evidence in their life that God has been with them and God has impacted them, that we begin to listen to what they have to say. Their actions precede their words. Some people think that only pastors can speak the voice of God. And actually that betrays the Reformation that we celebrated last week when we affirm that everyone is a priest of God and speaks the voice of God if they're willing to. I think we often listen to those we believe are most like the gods that we trust. We like to listen to people that are like us, to be with our kind, with ones who speak our words, our vocabulary, have our cultural religious framework. I don't think that's what God has in mind either. How do we learn to speak for God? Moses was entering into a personal relationship with Almighty God. God addressed him in the burning bush. God continued a conversation with him the rest of his life. God wants a relationship with each of us. And in that personal relationship, we learn over a period of time what it means to speak humbly and carefully the voice of God. We invest in listening and conversing with God in prayer. We invest in seeing the life of God in Jesus. We invest in reading the scriptures and listening to the stories in the scriptures so that we know how God interacted with human beings in history. And we invest in the community of faith. We gather together, we speak together, we debate together, we challenge each other, and we grow together to learn to speak God's voice well. When Jesus had walked with the disciples for a period of time, he didn't just keep telling them what to do. He invited them after a certain period of time to begin to go and do what he did. He gave them the power to cure evil, to exorcise demons, and to speak good news. Jesus expected the disciples to take on his voice and his presence. So God tells us in Scripture what we are to say and who we are to be. But then there are some things in Scripture that are clear that we are definitely not to say. Same things that are attributed to the evil one, the devil. Words of accusation, words of condemnation, words of blame, of gossip, of shame, belittlement, devaluation, demeaning. Words that undermine other human beings, words that cause division, words that conspire against others, words that present God as a lesser God, words that make us God, words that give another authority greater power than God, words that wound children, words that rob the dream of teenagers, words that sabotage the visions of leaders who speak God's love. Those are not the words of God. And we must discern the difference. I think there are some clear ways in which we learn to speak God's way in the Old Testament. For example, there are the Ten Commandments. Keep a time for Sabbath. That's a word from God, which is hard for us today. Honor your parents. That's a word from God that's hard for us to honor today. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Now, there's a word that's rather difficult for us to honor today. Don't steal, don't lie, and don't covet what others have. Aren't these all words that we need to continue to hear from God? And then there are some words that are often lost in the Old Testament that tell us about who God really is. These words need to be heard. The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of parents upon the children to the third and fourth generation. The balance of God in forgiveness and accountability. We need to speak of that God. And here's the bottom line. It isn't just Moses, the prophet, who must speak for God. It isn't just Jesus, the Son of God, who is the one who walked on earth as God in the flesh. But it is all of those who've been given the gift of the Spirit to walk with Jesus in this world, you and I. We are invited into a humble and careful place to listen to God and to hold one another accountable in the community of faith, to speak God's clear voice of grace and truth in this world. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, help us to speak your word, your voice, even in our flawed character, our failing. Help us in confession and humility to speak your voice. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.